Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Coming up on podcast 1072, we talk about BMW and Ford's joint investment in solid-state battery technology and what it means for EVs. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the podcast today, we're talking about VW's plans to make their own chips like Tesla and Apple, how Stellantis, that's Peugeot and Citroën and Fiat Chrysler, now merged, are going to be making more EVs, and well, that's bad news for Tesla to the tune of billions of dollars a year. The Chinese makers are selling well in April. We'll look at the numbers, and Polestar 2 gets better with an over-the-air update. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening or watching around the world. EV News Daily for Tuesday, 4th of May. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. We'll kick off with a nice little story here about VW and the ID4 competing in an off-road race very well, actually successfully. Racer Tanner Faust has done countless long-distance off-road races, but he brought home the all-electric Volkswagen ID4 in the National Off-Road Racing Association, NORA, the Mexican 1000 in the Baja Peninsula. And they were really surprised because there was zero mechanical problems, of course. It's an EV, so much less to go wrong. All right, I'm being a bit flippant, but it was the only EV entered in the event to charge. They had a portable biofuel generator powering a 50 kilowatt DC fast charger. And because of COVID, it was running loops, which allowed them to always come back and, you know, charge and DC fast charge. They said it was the hardest bit about the event, actually. They modified it, so they stripped out luxuries like heating and cooling, put a roll cage inside, racing seats, and some more screens for more data. And Faust noting, according to this Jalopnik article, their main issue was the charge time. They could easily do the same distance because of the terrain and being off-road as any combustion car could completely hold its own, but the charging was the slower bit. And of course, the point of this wasn't to go and win the race, and the point of it wasn't to prove that the VW ID4 can do off-road events, but it was an opportunity for VW to learn from a very extreme environment. That's not to say that companies like VW don't do a huge amount of hot, cold, extreme weather validation testing, but I love stuff like this. A nice, cute little story to kick off the podcast today. Okay, let's get into the story about VW wanting to make their own chips and design their own chips. Not necessarily make, I should add, but designing their own chips for autonomous cars and EVs as well. Coming from a Handelsblatt article. The CEO of the VW Group, Herbert Diess, has ordered VW to launch the next revolution after electromobility, and that is a fully networked, fully connected, self-steering and self-driving vehicle using custom VW processors. It's a 2030 strategy, so this isn't happening, you know, in the short term. VW's boss is looking on the next decade time frame and working out what they need to do as a business. Does the lucrative core business attract enough attention, asks Handelsblatt. Many in the company doubt this. In an interview with Handelsblatt, Herbert Diess explaining why software and hardware need to be fully understood by VW. It's a really good point. And this all comes down to who's making EVs. And of course, you have startups, Tesla and Lucid. You have the Chinese makers, both established ones and you know, mobile phone companies coming into the market. And then you have what you would know as an OEM, a digital car maker that has got hundreds of thousands of employees around the world, supply chains, systems, layers of management, and, you know, pensions and so many things that people describe it as like turning around tanker. But sure, but it can be done. I think that's what he's doing here. And it's one of the really interesting things about how Herbert Diess is leading VW, I think better than most, into an EV future. Well, according to this Autoblog article, VW designing its own computer chips, not making, but designing. A key difference, of course, Volkswagen didn't plan to build semiconductors, but want to own their own patents, Diess said, according to the software unit they have. Developing the expertise and expanding the expertise as well. It would not give VW an edge in terms of supply, which has been an ongoing issue for car makers in the face of bigger demand from every manufacturing sector that uses electronic components. Well, Apple and Tesla, say Autoblog, have higher competence in terms of how semiconductors are defined. But Herbert Diess has made no secret of his admiration of Tesla, describing them. I'm going to get this wrong now, but I think there was a time a couple of years ago, maybe last year, he described them as fast followers, recognizing their position in the market, that actually Tesla is a market leader in some areas and VW can learn from that. And I was really impressed because so much rhetoric over the last 10 years aimed at Tesla has been, you know, oh, it's nice for them, patting them on the head. Oh, they're there, well done, making EVs. How cute. We know how to make us. I'm not saying VW did that. I'm saying lots of car makers were saying, oh, that's nice for Tesla. Well, when we want to make EVs, we'll show them how it's done. 2021 is probably panning out a little bit different to how they thought 10 years ago. But let's talk a little bit about how Tesla has made their own self-driving chip. We can remind ourselves of Autonomy Day and their own. Now, they were using NVIDIA chips and hardware before, and not the latest, because they were saying, oh, our technology is much faster than what we're using. Well, they weren't using the, you know, anyway, splitting hairs now. But they designed their own chips to use in their vehicles that were more power efficient, more powerful. Of course, there was some redundancy built in for autonomy, so that if one fails, you know, you can go to the backup chip. And this was all about working with Tesla's neural net to fully understand self-driving, and made by Samsung, isn't it? So, fascinating day. Was it 2019? This was, goodness me, it seems like 5 minutes ago, doesn't it? So really interesting that this was on the cards then. Well, it had been for a long time, of course. Tesla making significant investments in this area, and VW have been making investments, but it's interesting how they talk so openly about how they want to be like Apple, making their own M1 chip, and Tesla designing their own chips. Not necessarily, you know, having their own chip fab, you know, factories and actually making it. But super, super interesting. Actually, that reminded me of an article I saw a couple of days ago, but I didn't bring it to you at the time, on Electrek, which was about how Tesla has pivoted to avoid the global chip shortage. And it was a quote that came out on the earnings call. It was on the shareholder letter, actually. And they said, Tesla said, in Q1, we were able to navigate through global chip supply shortage issues, in part by pivoting extremely quickly to new microcontrollers, while simultaneously developing firmware for new chips made by new suppliers. And again, that is an example of their strength in depth, of their knowledge of how to code their vehicles and make hardware and software work together. And again, I'm an idiot who makes a podcast, so I know nothing about this, but my first reactions are massively impressed about how they operate like a startup, even though they're a much bigger company now, and how this possibly could be a future problem that they're stacking up in terms of supporting those vehicles, in terms of having different code that they need to kind of validate, etc., whenever they push a new update. That might not be an issue. If you're an expert in this area, please let me know in the comments below so I can learn from you. But clearly it's worth doing if they want to carry on making cars. Tesla had a little bit of a fortunate situation where they were relaunching the S and the X and still haven't done so yet. There was no production in those vehicles. And of course, they could focus entirely on 3 and Y. And in the US, 3 is still vastly outselling the Y. No mention of China in there and how that might have hit, or even Fremont, how it might have hit specific countries. But very interesting that they are talking about that. And Elon Musk was then elaborating a little bit more and saying that they will be impacted into Q2 and into Q3 as well. I think the phrase was a little bit or a little, but we'll wait and see. Okay, let's move on. And let's talk about a company that was formed from Fiat Chrysler, Peugeot Citroen. They're called Stellantis, which does sound like a space adventure movie with Matt Damon, Stellantis, coming this autumn, is going to hit. It's an interesting name for a company. They're hitting their emissions targets without Tesla's help, says a Reuters report today. Stellantis expects to achieve its European carbon dioxide emissions targets this year without environmental credits bought from Tesla. The CEO of Stellantis said in an interview published, it was actually earlier today. Now, Fiat Chrysler spent about €2 billion, that's about $2.4 billion so far, to buy credits from Tesla. It was from 2019 to 2021, earlier this year. They say we will autonomously, nothing to do with autonomous driving, but on our own, we will meet carbon dioxide emission regulations as early as this year. That's Carlos Tavares, the Stellantis boss, saying in an interview with the French weekly Le Point. Fiat Chrysler no longer have to pool with Tesla or anyone. So the new company bringing in a lot of electric technology from the French side of the business. So Peugeot, Citroën have a load of EVs. They have small cars. They have vans on the market over here. There really is so many EVs that you can buy if you want, a Peugeot E208, a E2008, the Citroën EC4, and lots more as well. So they have that coming into the business. Fiat Chrysler were a little behind, and so by being a larger company with some of that EV technology, but also sales bringing in now, they no longer need to go to Tesla, cap in hand, and say, have some money so we can avoid some fines. European regulations require all car manufacturers to reduce CO2 emissions for private vehicles to an average of 95 grams per kilometre this year, says this Reuters report. I'll pop a link in the show notes if you'd like to read more, as always. And it's an example of how it's a funny conversation when, you know, I like to follow both the Tesla kind of crazy diehards that would sell a kidney to meet Elon Musk. And I like to follow the people as well that think it's all an illusion. Like the cars don't really exist. It's all a big fraud, that they don't actually make anything. I like to follow both just to kind of get a sense of equal crazies. And then somewhere in the middle are the kind of people who just like enjoy the cars and like to drive them and tell their friends and family, hey, that's a really cool car I bought. And so it's interesting how those people who don't like Tesla, and I don't understand them, like, just get over it, say that Tesla only makes money because they sell regulatory credits. And so they'll probably see this news and crow about it and say, well, that's $2 billion they're losing. But actually, Tesla are profitable because of regulatory credits in the US and Europe as well. And in China too, but they cut their cloth accordingly. So they're knowing how their business will look over forthcoming quarters and years, that's how they could put their CEO compensation plan together, their R&D investment, their capital expenditure for building new factories in Berlin and Austin as well. And as the Tesla fans like to point out, thank you very much to their competition for funding building of their factories, which when you think about it is kind of how it is. So, yeah, Tesla could be profitable without them. They would just do their business. They would go about their business in a different way, right? So if you know you're going to make that money, well, you might as well spend it on certain things. That's my logic. I don't understand the people that don't like them. But anyway, they can do them. Right, let's move on and talk about BMW Group strengthening their leadership position in a battery technology company called Solid Power. They make solid-state batteries. Solid Power, they say, is an industry-leading producer of solid-state batteries for EVs, announcing $130 million of investment led by BMW and Ford. Now, BMW and Ford want to use solid-state technology because it's lower cost and higher power in forthcoming EVs. Ted Miller is the manager of electrification subsystems and power supply at Ford. And he said, and I quote, by simplifying the design of solid-state versus lithium-ion batteries, we can increase vehicle range, improve interior space and cargo volume, deliver lower costs and better value for customers, and more efficiently integrate this kind of solid-state battery cell technology into existing lithium-ion cell production processes. So Solid Power do make a solid-state battery because that gets quite confusing very quickly, because there's kind of semi-solid-state batteries in terms of electrolytes and the composition of batteries. But they generally, the promise of solid-state batteries, and it's much like, you know, hydrogen power and solid-state batteries. They kind of, these things float around in the ether, and people say, oh, when these arrive, it'll be like a magic wand. Not quite. It is easy to do it on the bench, as Elon Musk will tell you, and do it in the lab. Not quite as easy to commercialize it. But let's have a look at what solid power are all about. They say that the electric vehicle is revolutionizing transport, and they feel that they have a solution for that. On their website, under a section called The Science, they say lithium metal anodes are not typically used in rechargeable batteries due to their tendency to short circuit due to dendrite growth. Solid state represents a viable path to enabling stable cycling of lithium metal batteries, as the solid electrolyte separator layer allows for uniform plating and stripping of lithium metal without formation of dendrites or the consumption of the electrolytes. So again, this isn't a magical technology that's going to change anything overnight. They've got a lot of work to do, but it is a genuine solid state battery, replacing the liquid electrolyte in the conventional lithium-ion battery, they say, with a highly stable, solid, ion-conducting material. As a result, more stable across the board. So they've been making these in 20-amp-hour examples, and giving them to Ford and BMW for testing, and now they're making 100 amp hour cells, again supplying those to BMW and Ford for more validation, more testing, and working with those car companies to look at how they could scale up and get them into EVs. So they'll have BMW say examples of these in their cars by 2025 and widespread adoption towards the end of the decade. Always, you know, I'm always careful with these stories that talk about long time frames and promising the world. There's a lot of jam tomorrow in the EV world, but this one I certainly think is very interesting to look at and to talk about. Okay, next, let's look at the vast amount of money pouring into EVs and how so many tech companies see EVs as a great way to diversify, as a way to have another high-growth area of their business. And one of those is Huawei, deepening their dive into EVs, says a Reuters report. China's Huawei technology in talks to take a controlling stake of a small Chinese car maker and their EV unit, two people with direct knowledge of the matter told Reuters. A move that would be a strategic shift for the world's largest telecom equipment maker. Now, Huawei's been banned by US sanctions, and they're in talks with, I think I would say, Chongqing, Socon, to acquire a controlling stake in their new energy automobile business called Jinkang. That counts a brand called Ceres, formerly known as SF Motors, as its main asset. Now, why are they doing this? Well, they're moving into EVs as more technology firms like Xiaomi have been stepping up their efforts in the world's biggest market for EVs, as Beijing heavily promotes green vehicles. Now, for months, says this Reuters report, Huawei has been deeply involved in the operation and manufacturing of the little-known Socon and its loss-making at the moment Ceres unit. Under the tie-up, the first model from Ceres is called the SF5. We saw it at the Shanghai Motor Show, and it received 3,000 pre-orders within just 2 days. Now, Huawei will sell you an SF5 at the moment, the first vehicle, on their online Vmall shop, which looks pretty interesting. You can go to vmall.com and find yourself a Huawei phone or tablet or smartwatch or VR headsets or wireless headphones or a telly or a computer. I couldn't find the car, so I was looking for the SF5 and nothing that I could find in the Vmall shop of Huawei. So I thought, I'd like to buy one of those. How much will it cost me? I'll go and have a look. Couldn't find it. So if you have any more luck, then let me know in the comments below. But interesting, they'll sell you one of these alongside some earbuds and a turbo six-blade razor. I think you can call Huawei a company that is truly diversified in terms of their product range. All right, Moving on. Let's talk Tesla in China, under scrutiny as they step up their engagement with regulators, a report from Automotive News Europe says. They write that Tesla's change of strategy is leading to more behind-the-scenes interaction with policymakers in China in a way which shows they're doing a bit of a U-turn in how they've traditionally operated, maybe in, you know, the US and Europe, but they've had some setbacks in China. Now, manufacturers normally join meetings in China, but unlike rivals like Toyota and GM, Tesla have been largely absent from these gatherings, according to four people talking to Automotive News Europe about the matter. But in the past weeks, Tesla executives have been attending these Chinese policy discussions on topics like data storage, vehicle-to-infrastructure, recycling, carbon emissions, and being more engaged in the process. And I'm not surprised, because one size doesn't fit all. And I think if you are doing business in China and they say, hey, we'd like you to come along to these meetings from now on, it would be a very good thing for you. I think you probably say yes. There's a hiring spree as well for managers in China to come on board and be part of this process of a greater dialogue between the government. I was going to say the regulators, but it's China. Those that get to operate in the country. It's not something that you can bulldoze your way into. I'll put it that way. You have to play by their rules. And it looks like Tesla, it doesn't look like a huge deal. It just looks like they are just becoming wiser of how to operate in that market and to do the best job there. Okay, moving on. And let's talk about a really interesting story about the, I don't know why I'm laughing already, the Germans discovering enough lithium in the Rhine River Valley to build 400 million EVs. Germany has announced it has discovered significant lithium deposits beneath the Rhine River and plans to mine the critical material. According to authorities, there are enough deposits that could power 400 million EVs. Well, that sounds like plenty. Lots of people will tell you when they find out that you like EVs, just like, if you like me, talk to people about cars and things, and they'll say, oh, but where's all the lithium going to come from? Where's it all going? It's all going to run out, isn't it? All that lithium. And then, you know what we're going to do? Well, there's plenty under one river in Germany. You see, it's pretty concentrated. The lithium, at the moment, there is a setback. It's in a molten state, and it's trapped underground in springs of boiling water thousands of metres below the river. So that sounds like a lot of fun to extract, but good luck to the Germans. Let's have a quick look at the sales figures coming out of China. Actually, we'll have a look at a couple of companies. XPeng, first of all, quadrupling EV sales last month in April 2021. Over 5,000 EV sales in a single month. They're doing really well. And last month, the company delivered 5,147 EVs. That's almost 300% increase year on year, although always be careful, year on year, last year, COVID and all that. They've got the second model, their P7, which joined the G3 last summer, and also NIO doing near record sales, according to the Inside EVs blog, doubling its electric car sales in April to a record level, near record level, despite the chip shortage. They sold 7,102 EVs in China, another 7,000 plus month, and they sell the ES6, that's a five-seater SUV. They sell the EC6, that's a coupe of the ES6, and the ES8, which is a big seven or six-seater SUV. That is its lowest-selling vehicle. And I mentioned both of those because both have made very public about their plans to sell outside of China. Lots of Chinese companies, we've had WM Motor on this podcast before, that say, hey, look, the opportunity is so big domestically. That's where our focus is. It's selling cars in China for the Chinese market and just excelling at that. Others, NIO, XPeng and more, others have been more cagey, saying, look, we want to sell cars in Europe. And both of those have been very vocal more recently about those plans. Still a little bit cagey. And we'll find out more from NIO, I believe, in a couple of days. Right, final story today. And I love this. I didn't know that it wasn't already the case, but I'm glad that it's happened. Polestar 2 now has keyless entry. You can now use your phone as a digital key, replacing the wireless key fob to unlock and start the car. It's an over-the-air update that you need. So if you have one of these cars, or you're thinking that you'd like to get a Polestar 2. You'll be getting an over-the-air update sometime this week, I think it starts. An updated version of the Polestar app is now required as well. The Polestar 2's digital key feature says CNET.com. They write that it makes use of 18 Bluetooth sensors around the vehicle's interior and exterior to detect the owner's smartphone running a Polestar app. An encrypted handshake enables the vehicle and the device to authenticate and start the car. Once you're inside, you can drive it away. Also, some other things that have happened with this update. The app now shows Polestar 2's battery and range. Didn't know it didn't already. It's pretty poor. Remotely activates climate. I do recall in the deep recesses of my mind that it wasn't... When the first cars came out, you couldn't do that, but I didn't realise it was still the case. That's good. You can now precondition and lock and unlock the doors. So many things that a Tesla owner would say, well, that's pretty basic. Couldn't you do that already? And Polestar 2 owners saying, yes, we can now, thank you. Yes. Brilliant news as well from Polestar. I'm glad these things happen. I mean, I think it probably should have been on the car for when they released it, but the point is they're getting out into the market, and that's is a very good bit of news. All right, I'm going to leave you with question of the week this week. Your bit of the podcast, my favourite bit of the podcast, because you take over. And I'll read out your answers on Sunday. Now, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com is asking about how much data you are happy to give up. EVs are connected cars, but you do have to give up some personal data, how you're driving, where you're going, if you want cheaper insurance, for instance. What are you willing to give up? And what are you willing to receive? I'd like to know from you, because I talk a good game in terms of data. I always say, well, you know, I pay for the Apple products. I pay for Microsoft. I don't want to use the free stuff from Google. I don't want to be sold to. Equally, sitting next to me is one of the Amazon devices that we have in every room of our house. And I talk to them all the time. And they turn the lights on and off and the heating on and off. And, you know, I don't know where my voice is going and being fingerprinted and sitting on what servers. I moderately trust Jeff Bezos and Amazon to hopefully do the right thing with it. So, yeah, I'm a bit of a hypocrite there. With my car, though, I don't really want to know that someone's watching me all the time, where I'm driving, how I'm driving, just to get, you know, 5% off my insurance. Like, that's okay. I don't really want to be tracked. Thanks. So, well, how about for you then? How much data would you give up? And what do you want in return in terms of a trade? Well, email me your thoughts and I'll read them out on Sunday's show. My address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Hey, as always, you can ever leave a little review for this podcast on Apple Podcasts. If you're listening on your phone, your iPad, your computer, you can fire up iTunes or the podcast app, little star rating, a few words, you know, he's not so bad. He's kind of okay. All those things, much appreciated. It's social proof, you see. Other people see it and go, oh, maybe I'll listen. And if you can check out the Patreon page, it does fund this podcast. It pays for my time to do this in the evenings and weekends and when the family are asleep. patreon.com/EVNewsDaily if you want to check it out, but no pressure at all. Thanks to our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. Got a good YouTube channel as well as Richard. And emobilitynorway.com. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.